For veterans diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and looking for alternative ways to treat it, the first FDA-regulated study on the benefits of smoked cannabis yielded favorable results this year. That was 2021. From the article, in a placebo-controlled, double-blind study, specified levels of improvement among participants using smoked cannabis blends with a 9% THC concentration, which is about average, that's nothing to shake a stick at. The research showed improvements in samples containing 11% CBD, as well as mixed samples containing 8% of both THC and CBD over the course of a year. The study found that cannabis users reported a greater decrease in the severity of their PTSD symptoms. They were also, this is really amazing, they were 2.5 times as likely to no longer even meet the diagnostic criteria for PTSD as those who did not use that cannabis. Joining me on the line right now is Jerry, a J-Man joiner. He's a marijuana industry advocate and the host of Weed and Whiskey TV. J-Man, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ian.
Nice to speak with you. Thanks for making the time. Okay, so yeah. the study that I was just reading from was 2021. That was 2 years ago. I'm sure a lot's happened since then. Catch our audience up on the state of play as it relates to how cannabis can be used to treat post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, you know, from the scientific reason, Ian, cannabis may decrease the hyperarousal and the intrusive memories, activating CB1 receptors in the hippocampus, and thus might help reduce PTSD symptoms. Okay, boy, that's a big amount of words for old J-Man here to speak. But basically, smoking a little cannabis, THC getting in their endocannabinoid system, causes the receptors in their brains to kind of chill out, which is a good thing for soldiers that have been over there doing what they do sometimes. It's exciting how much new information that's becoming available. You know, the VA, they no longer say, hey, if you've got cannabis in your system, we're not going to take your benefits away. That is super huge.
That's great.
Exciting to hear this.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned, tell me a little bit more about the specific components of cannabis. I think there's still some education to be done generally about the difference between THC and CBD. Is one of these proving to have better therapeutic effects than the other, or in some combination? How does that chemically work?
In my understanding, it all depends on a person's endocannabinoid system. Every mammal has an endocannabinoid system, and everyone reacts a little bit differently. That's why some people that do CBD, they get all these medical benefits, and they don't get any psychotropic aspects of this. And when we talk about cannabis, everybody says weed, the first thing they think about is smoking a joint or hitting a bong. Ian, so many people are now doing gummies. These veterans,
right.
A lot of these guys are doing gummies, even in states that regulated marijuana is not legal. Like here in Texas, there's a very small regulated program, real hard for people to get access to what we would call regulated marijuana. But there's these Delta 8 and Delta 9 products that many, many veterans are saying, hey, man, we're getting benefits from this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that they're getting the help, but we need to make sure they're getting good products also.
How do you, I guess it's just the regulatory apparatus that's either kind of helping or hindering you in that regard, right?
Yeah, you know, everybody gets a little bit a different result from this, and there is so many different types of both CBD and THC. There's THCO, there's THCA. The scientists are just now really uncovering all the different attributes of this plant. And now that they're doing this, they're able to kind of dial in and say, okay, you got rheumatoid arthritis. Well, this would be good for you. And this is not all about just getting high. Sure,
right.
There's people get high. I like to get high. I get high all the time. But I'm also realizing it's medicine for me. No different than people like to have a beer or a shot of whiskey or maybe a glass of wine. This is the new generation's methodology of recreation. And it's great that it's medicine for these veterans.
We have Delta 9 seltzers here in New Orleans that I've just kind of discovered recently. And I mean, I don't suffer from PTSD, but I, you know, my brain's a little bit. I'm also trying to bend down the curve in terms of how much alcohol I intake. And I'm finding these Delta 9 seltzers to be pretty awesome. Like I don't feel like this thrush, like this crazy psychotropic effect, but it does have a sort of relaxing quality to it, yeah. You know? And it's like, okay, well, I had one of these seltzers when I would have had two or three beers, and that seems like a victory to me.
Well, they were trying to make these things what they call sessionable. In other words, they're 2.5 or maybe 5 milligrams of an active ingredient, THC, Delta 8, Delta 9. That way, just like you might go and have a couple of beers with a friend, you're not getting drunk, you're not getting inebriated, but you're enjoying an hour or so's time in doing this. Here's the real value with these. My wife, she likes a glass of wine. Glass of wine got 100, 110 calories. She gets the same effect off of one of these seltzers as far as the little buzz that she gets from it. Yeah. She's got 15 or 20 calories. So she's telling all her friends, hey, and she would never smoke a joint. I get to smoke, but she does. She doesn't want to.
Yeah.
But she's embracing this product.
Okay, great. Now, J-Man, I want to circle back to something that you said just a moment ago in coming back to kind of the treatment of PTSD specifically. You mentioned the psychotropic effects of cannabis are not present with CBD products. I'm curious, those don't deliver the high that most people associate with cannabis use and the use of products containing THC, which does deliver the high. Is there any evidence to suggest that the high matters or not in treatment of PTSD or other disorders?
Many of the veterans are saying, hey, I don't care if it gets me high or not, I want it for the medical relief. So they embrace the CBD more so than they do for the THC. Where the THC comes into play, it seems like helping them get off of their opioids. I saw a recent study, 65% of veterans that are using cannabis have moved away from doing as many opioids. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, I love to hear that.
We're not trying to get somebody hooked on one thing to another, but the damage that it does. You know, I got weed and whiskey. I do a little whiskey now and then. If I do too much, my wife gives me the stink eye, right? Hey, you know, back off of that stuff. I just learned, you know, alcohol is a toxin into your body where cannabis isn't. Whether it's THC or CBD, the way it reacts with your body is not as a toxin, and so your body accepts it a little bit different. With that said, moderation, that's what everybody's got to take into consideration when they're doing these things and learning what really helps and works for them. My 85-year-old mother rubs a THC topical, a cream, on her foot, and she gets relief. But if you said, hey, that had marijuana in it, she's from Louisiana, she'd get her gun and shoot you. Okay? She don't want anything to do with drugs. But boy, when her foot felt better. So these veterans, they're learning also that not just the smoking of the joints. That's what everybody goes to. Let's let these veterans and the studies help us learn about the tinctures they put under their tongues or the things that they rub on their body that help their muscle pain and their arthritis. I think we're only going to at the surface of what we're learning about this.
Yeah, I was in Chicago a couple months ago and I visited a dispensary there. And it's not even, I mean, yeah, they got gummies and seltzers and everything, but now they just got straight up pills. They're like the size of a Tic Tac, you know, so you don't even, it just seems so much like regular medicine. I'm just glad that's coming around.
And Ian, you know, in the beginning of all this, they talk about the edibles and, hey, this may take an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. They came out with something that they're calling nano. In other words, it's water soluble instead of fat soluble in the way that it breaks down. So you get the effigy or the effect from it in 10 minutes instead of an hour.
Because
that's where the problems come in. Somebody eats once, well, I didn't get anything, and they eat another one because their body needed to metabolize, whatever that big word is, has a hard time.
We know the one.
To absorb in your body. So these nanos, and that's with the drinks also. So that way you can kind of, I kind of get the feeling like I just drank a beer.
Okay, great. I want to turn here. There's plenty of critics out there, J-Man, and these aren't just like cranks. I mean, there's some smart, really informed people who argue that using cannabis for PTSD, the sort of proliferation of cannabis in other areas of our lives, has unintended consequences for potential negative, deleterious long-term effects. What is your response?
You know, it's something that we certainly need to watch and monitor. A lot of press gets out there about emergency room visits, both with adults and children getting access to some of these products. They pale in comparison to what alcohol does to society. So, you know, we're seeing kind of a shift. Yeah, these these incidences are growing in the cannabis as more and more people are using this, but we're seeing we need to talk also about the decrease in the ones with alcohol that are occurring. So common sense comes into play, you know. But, you know, we decided to talk today. It was about the veterans, and we talked about cannabis, but then you also wanted to talk a little bit about psilocybin and a couple of other illicit drugs that are now being researched and helping the veterans.
Yeah, let's move on to that. J-Man, I suffer from depression and anxiety, and I'm in this space and I'm researching, and I know that ketamine and psilocybin are both being explored in this regard. What is the latest with those substances or others that I might not have thought to mention?
Well, Ian, I couldn't give you any knowledge on ketamine. I am just not very familiar with it, other than it's something that an anesthesiologist normally deals with. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that the psilocybin mushrooms are exploding, but not just the magic mushrooms with the psilocybin. The wellness of a bunch of these other types of mushrooms are really starting to come into play. But the psilocybin, this microdosing, with in some instances one dose helps a veteran with his depression. I know for my own self, I always avoided, well, I smoked pot since I was 14 years old, been doing it for 50 years. I never tried mushrooms until just a few years ago.
Is
because
that right?
As a kid, a little girl ate some out in the field and died. And my parents said, don't ever eat mushrooms. I was at Ruth Chris's steakhouse, and they said, would you like some mushrooms on your steak? No! No, I don't want mushrooms. Yeah, I was that adamant. I had cluster migraine headaches that were debilitating to me. And someone said, hey, why don't you microdose some of these mushrooms? I said, well, I got to do something. And I did that. And once I got, I did just a little bit more and a little bit more. And once I got to the right amount, those headaches went away. I haven't had them since. And I haven't had a desire to go back. Oh, I want to go on a mushroom trip all the time. Because, you know, I really didn't take a trip. It just kind of, my mind just kind of changed, but the headaches went away. And if the veterans can get this kind of help from all the things that they deal with, I think it's well worth research being done. So there are my 2 grams on that.
Well, I couldn't agree more. J-Man, are cannabis advocates such as yourself, I know you said you don't know much about the application of ketamine in this space, but do you see other people in your field, cannabis advocates specifically, that are stretching to collaborate or support joint initiatives to advance research into those other substances to include ketamine?
You know, plant-based medicine and wellness is really at its infancy still, I think. Probably at some point in history, that's the only way that we got medicine and healing. But throughout centuries and centuries of time, we've moved away from that. I just don't have that much knowledge about that and the way that it's administered. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's something called kratom that a lot of people are starting. It's a plant-based thing. It came to us from Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. I think soldiers were the guys that were bringing that back. I interviewed a guy named Frank Mir. He's a big-time MMA fighter. And he said that's really the only thing that's giving him relief from all his pains and ailments. So we need to find out more about that and help our veterans. I think the more people accept that we should have research that can be done. For so long, Ole Miss was the only place in America they researched any cannabis. And my understanding, it was like the lowest grade cannabis that could be done. It was a rudimentary program. And now, man, they got guys with pocket protectors and lab coats that are really dialing down and saying, hey, this exact strain can help you with this and can help you with this. So I think we'll only learn more and more as things continue to become legal. We got 23 states for recreational or adult use and 38 states for medicinal.
Whoa, sorry. Did you say we are up to now 23 states have recreational use?
23 states have adult use or recreational. Here's interesting, Ian. When it's on a ballot, if they say recreational, it's less likely to pass than if they say adult use.
How funny. We are a picky electorate, aren't we? All you got to do is change one word, and we're like, oh, yeah, definitely want that. Wow.
And here's what I think, great, man. We're such a divided nation now. Weed is bringing people together. Pew Research survey from about a month and a half ago said 88% of Americans are in favor of legal cannabis. When has 88% of us ever been in favor of the same thing?
I haven't.
Weed the people.
you could ask somebody like, oxygen, is it good or bad? And you wouldn't get to 88%. You know, that's just the world that we live in right now. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Jerry J-Man Joyner. He's the host of Weed and Whiskey TV. J-Man, tell us a little bit more about that. What is Weed and Whiskey TV? What do you guys do over there?
We're a streaming TV network manifested down at Willie Nelson's ranch a few years ago. and we produce, most fitting, right?
Yeah.
We produce a weekly news show called Weed and Whiskey News. Dropped at 4:20 every Friday. It's available on Roku to 70 million Americans. Ian, you're laughing. 4:20. I did that because that's my actual birthday. My real
you're
birthday
kidding
is
me.
April the 20th. April 20th, 1960.
Wow. J-Man, you contain multitudes, dude. Okay, so you said it's on Roku. And is it available? You got social media presence? Well, how do people learn more?
Sure. Spotify, our episodes both in video and in audio are on Spotify.
Great.
We cut a deal
Great.
With them. And you can go to weedandwhiskey.tv.
Weedandwhiskey.tv. Okay, write that down, folks. J-Man, I've so enjoyed getting to know you today, man. Thanks again for making the time, and thank you for your work on this issue.
Reach out anytime, Ian. It's a pleasure visiting with you today.
You know I will reach out. Thank you. There he goes, Jerry J-Man Joyner, the host of Weed and Whiskey TV.